wrote that song in response to what was happening in the States about God not being alive. So he was a physicist, and then he decided to write that song about that there is a God. Forgive me if I give this title of the sermon, Smadi Obiyo. Well, Smadi Obiyo, if you wanted the standard, the title of the lesson then would be You Have Been Bewitched, if you prefer that one. But Smadi Obiyo. And it's saying from Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 5. Now, in this passage, and in this book of Galatians, Paul is addressing a problem that the church in Galatia faced. And the problem was this, that those Christians at Galatia, they were at one and the same time trying to hold on to the gospel, or holding on to the gospel, while at the same time attempting to keep the law of Moses. And Paul saw this as a grievous error and decided that he had to write the book of Galatians to address the problem. In fact, one of the best books of the New Testament to deal with the issue of the law, perhaps in my mind, other than the book of Hebrews, is the book of Galatians. Because almost on every page, in every chapter, Paul addresses the fact that the death of Jesus Christ at and on the cross removed the Ten Commandment Old Testament system for good. Now, sometimes we make the mistake, and we need to be careful. Sometimes we make the mistake and think that the law is no good. Sometimes we make the mistake in thinking that there was nothing good about the law. But the law was good. It was good for the purpose for which God intended it. Why is it not good? It is always not good when it is compared to the New Testament system. So that is why we're told about a better law, a better covenant, a better priest. Because it could not and was never designed to accomplish what the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, was meant to accomplish. And from that point of view, it was not good. But it satisfied the purpose for which God wanted it to serve. Now, these Galatians were being taught that in order for them to secure their salvation, they had not only to keep and obey the gospel, but they had to live and serve the law. And Paul was saying that is unscriptural. In fact, it is surprising to me, it is strange to me, that the Bible clearly shows that the Old Testament system is gone, clearly. Yet, we have modern day Judaizers, Adventists, Sabbatarians telling us that we have to keep the law. I remember I was doing the radio program for Tooting, or back when I was in England, and Derek called me from, because we open part of it to questions, and Derek called me from Canada, and he was trying to play the devil's advocate. And if you know Derek Grant, Derek can be a very good devil's advocate. And then he said to me, how can you say that the law is gone when people, how then can people sin then? The law was from creation. And I said to him, and I pretended that I didn't know him. And I said to him, but you have never read Romans chapter 5. that says it is sin, and then the law says you have it back ways. And then when Derek couldn't answer me on the ear, I was shocked. Derek said, okay, then you win. But you see, the Old Testament system that it is abolished is clearly taught in the scripture. Now, in response to this damnable doctrine, Paul expressed shock and horror that these Christians were so soon removed. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 to 6, and chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Paul expressed his shock and horror that they were so soon removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ, which had brought about their forgiveness, to embrace a system, chapter 1, verse 3 to 6, and chapter 2, verse 16 to 17, to embrace a system that could never give them righteousness, to embrace a system that could never secure for them their eternal salvation. Paul was saying, I'm shocked. I can't believe that you could have been so quickly swept off your feet that you will believe this nonsense. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 6. Galatians chapter 1.
Grace be to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father.
Sometimes we begin this text from verse 6 because we want to make the point about the gospel. But you know what Paul is saying in this text? Paul is showing in verse 3 that it is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone that can secure our salvation. So he says, Jesus Christ gave himself for you. Jesus Christ brought about your rescue from this present evil world. And Paul says, you know that. You have been taught that. You have seen that clearly. And then, in shock, Paul says, chapter 6,
I marvel.
Paul says, I can't believe it.
That you are so...
Hold it. Paul says, I cannot believe it. What can't you believe, Paul? Paul is saying to them, how could you throw away that which gives you salvation for something else? I just can't believe that. Paul says, I'm shocked. He says, I am shocked that you, I marvel,
that you are so soon removed from mm-hmm. from him that called you into the grace of Christ mm-hmm. unto another gospel.
Now, you see, this word, another, Paul uses, there are two words for another. One that means another of the same kind, and another that is different. Paul is saying, when you go and accept this thing about the law, you are going accepting another teaching, another gospel that is different. It's not the same. And you know what he's saying? Nothing more or less than the gospel can save you. It needs nothing more. Once you go away from that, Paul says, in fact, Paul says, let me show you. I don't want you to misunderstand me. It is not another gospel that you're going towards, because there can be no other. There is just but one gospel. And Paul says, how could you know that? How could you have been taught that? How could you be so far soon removed from that? Paul says, I'm shocked. But you know what that says to us as Christians? Sometimes we always want to invent new things. Sometimes we are not satisfied with what we have. Brethren, Paul is saying there is nothing else coming. So it's either you're going to take it or leave it. Paul says, this is not another gospel. That's verse 6. Let me hear chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. And I'm going to come back to this passage.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law.
So notice how Paul is going to emphasize something here. He says, you know that a man is not declared right in the sight of God.
Mm-hmm. But by faith of Jesus
Christ. Sorry, by the works of the law.
but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
So Paul is saying you're not justified by the law. You're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, go on.
Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by
Paul is saying the same thing again. It's as if he's saying, you know, because you have been so soon removed, it's as if I have to come back and repeat it over and over again for you to get it. Paul says, you cannot be justified by the law. You cannot. It's as if Paul says, look, I'm fed up. You can't be justified by the law. You can't be just. And that is what he says in verse 16. And he says, look here. There is no flesh that can be justified in the sight. He repeats the same thing about four times. Four times in the verse. Why? Because they were so quickly removed from the truth that they knew. That's chapter 2. But you know what is interesting? In our text, chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3 now. In our text, Paul expresses his further disgust that the Christians were foolishly giving heed to false teachers who were teaching that justification could be achieved through faith in Jesus Christ and the keeping of the Ten Commandments system. Paul says, that to me is just way out. And I'm going to show you how he expresses his disgust. Because in chapter 5, follow me, in chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 4, Paul is going to repeat something again about the law. In chapter 5, verse 1 and 4.
Stand fast, therefore.
Paul says, look here. Don't be removed. When he says stand fast, Paul is saying, don't go out on a limb. Stay with the truth that you know. Stand fast. Don't move from it. Don't be shifting in your belief. And brethren, I have come to realize that if you are not grounded in the truth, you're in trouble. And you see, sometimes we make the mistake in thinking that there is more trouble coming in church than what is in here. Sometimes our biggest problem doesn't come from outside, because you know why? We can readily see them looking for it. Sometimes our trouble comes right in the congregation. Is that me? Okay. Alright. Here's what I'm saying. And what Paul is trying to suggest is that don't be removed. You have to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, read, which Christ,
wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not be entangled again.
Now, notice, you see, when you look at these words, you know, what Paul is saying is that you Galatians have been made free in Christ when you obeyed the gospel. Why then are you going to tie up yourself again in something that will lead you only to bondage? Paul says it doesn't make any sense. How could you do that? Verse 4.
Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace.
You know what Paul is saying? If you move from the gospel that you are taught, first of all, you're going to tie up yourself again in a doctrine that you don't want, because it will never secure your salvation. And Paul says, if you go on keeping the law as well, Paul is saying, you cannot be saved. There's no way that you can be saved. So now look at Paul in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. In venting his anger, in showing his disgust, Paul does not, this is important, Paul does not say, brethren. Paul does not describe them as brethren. What does he say?
Oh, foolish
Galatians. Is he talking to Christians? Yes. Is that Paul says, yeah, idiot? I still know this dog, Pastor. No, it's like Paul is saying, look here. Oh, foolish Galatians. He does, what I find, he does not say brethren. He says, because if you ever think like this, you must be an idiot. Oh, foolish Galatians. And Paul repeats it in verse 3. He says, are you so foolish? Who is he talking to? He's talking to Christians. But he doesn't call them brethren. Because Paul is suggesting that for you to have the truth steering in your faith so clearly and to move away from it, you must be a fool. But wait, Paul doesn't have any manners. Apparently he doesn't know how to talk to people. He doesn't know that he can't ruffle people's feathers. Paul doesn't care because that is foolish. Now notice how he says, oh foolish Galatians. But not only does he say that they are foolish, he then says, let me ask you, somebody cast some obi on you or something? It's like Paul is struggling to find, how did you get to that point? How could you give up the truth for that? You could not be in your right mind and believe that. Paul says, you are not only foolish, but somebody has cast a spell on you. In fact, you know what Paul, what the word literally means? Paul says, somebody has given you an evil eye. Somebody has hypnotized you. Somebody seems to have worked some witchcraft on you. Somebody has made you spellbound. Somebody has fascinated you with error. Because I can't imagine how you could, with all that you know, accept that. You can't be in your right mind. You lose your sense of something. Somebody must obey you. No, that, in fact, if we're going to put it in, Paul says, you have been bewitched. Now, here is it now. Paul tries to show, in fact, not trying to show, Paul now is going to reason with them. Paul is now going to bring them back to reality. And he asks a series of questions. Follow me now. He asks a series of questions to highlight to them that they could not be in their sound rational mind and accept error. You know what? There's some things I'm going to point out. Paul is going to show that when a man sees the truth obviously, it is clear, and he decides to go to error, he is not thinking right. When you tell a man that, look here, Jesus Christ built but one church, and you show him plainly, and he says, well, I don't believe that. Well, Paul is saying something wrong with you. Upstairs, not right. Now, watch this. The word bewitched is the only time in this verse that it appears in Bible. And what the word means is that Paul is saying, you have been bedazzled. You have been hypnotized. You have been caught under a spell. In fact, the word is used for witchcraft. And it's not that Paul is saying he believes in witchcraft, but Paul is being sarcastic. Paul is saying that is the only explanation that I have. Now notice what he says now. Paul then is going to show them how far gone rationally they are. How far gone spiritually they are. Now notice what he says now. He asks a number of questions. Oh foolish Galatians. One, who has bewitched you? That's the first question. Second thing, he says, this only I want to learn of you. What Paul is saying? Tell me this. Now here is another question. Did you receive the Spirit by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? Paul is going to give three reasons. Now, watch this. Paul is saying to them, despite their being taught the truth, verse 1. Let me hear verse 1. Despite their being taught the truth, verse 1 of Galatians chapter 3.
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth?
Holy. But they did obey the truth. You see, it's not that they didn't, they did. So Paul is saying, how can you, despite your being taught the truth, how could you believe that? So he says, one, two. Not only that, Paul says, despite the reason of logic, if you think about it logically, you couldn't come to that conclusion. Verse 3.
Are you so foolish?
Are you so foolish?
Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?
Paul is saying, now think about it. Think about this. How could you start your salvation in a spiritual way? Does it make sense to you that you're going to complete that which you start spiritually with completed with something physical? Paul says that doesn't make any sense. So despite your knowledge of the truth, despite the obvious weakness of their argument, and then he says, even your experience tells you that you couldn't believe that. Notice verse number 5.
He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?
Paul says, look here, you have three things why you shouldn't believe error. One, you are taught the truth. Paul says, it doesn't make any sense. And Paul says, your experience tells you that it couldn't be right. He says, when we came and worked miracles among you, you saw it, didn't you? Your experience told you, didn't you? And you saw it with your eyes. How then can you come down and say, we can keep the law to be saved? Paul says, you must be foolish. Somebody must have bewitched you. But follow me. The truth is in this text, in these questions. The truth Paul is suggesting to us is set. The truth is always fixed. The truth is always unchangeable. But the problem is, your response to the truth is changing. Don't change from the truth. Don't change from what you know. And that's what Paul is telling them. Paul is saying, you see, when we did this, you saw, you were taught, it's logical, but then the truth is still there, but you are shifting. Paul says, something is wrong with you. You must have been bewitched. Now, notice this now. The question that Paul posed, who has bewitched you? Did you receive the Spirit by doing what the law said, or through the preaching of faith? Now, he says, through the hearing of faith. But you know what Paul is saying? When he says, read verse, when he says, by the hearing of faith, you know what Paul is saying? The gospel was preached to you, not through the law. When he says the hearing of faith, he's not just talking about that they heard it. Paul says you were taught the faith, you heard the faith, it did not come from the law. Paul says the hearing of faith. How can you begin in the Spirit and expect to complete your salvation through the flesh? Were the miracles that were wrought among you, were they done through the keeping of the law or through faith? Now here is the point now, brethren. No false teaching is ever innocent. No, it doesn't matter who believes it. It doesn't matter how widely accepted it is. It doesn't matter how innocent it looks. No false teaching is ever without implication. I want to show you something. Notice chapter 3 again, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. I want to show you something from the text. Read it. Read from it, please.
O foolish Galatians.
O foolish Galatians.
Who hath bewitched you?
Who hath bewitched you?
That ye should not obey the truth.
That you should not obey the truth.
Before whose eyes
Jesus... Stop there. Now, what Paul is saying? O foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? Now, how were they bewitching them? All that they were saying, all that these Judaizers were saying is this. You see, Jesus saved. Did they believe that? Yes. But they were also saying, for you to benefit from this, you have to the law. In our time, people are telling us the same thing. People are making the same argument. It sounds innocent. It sounds good. But here is the implication. Here is the implication. Read the verse 1 again for me.
O foolish Galatians,
mm-hmm.
Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?
Now, my question is, how does crucify come into this? How does crucify come into this doctrine? You know what Paul is saying? When Jesus Christ died on the cross for your atonement, how you get this? I know what Paul is saying. In teaching that you have to keep the law to be saved, you are by that very act questioning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You are at the very same teaching. In that teaching, you're saying Jesus died in vain. It was not necessary because you don't need this. But could you ever imagine the Jews who were Christians, but they were still hanging on to the law, some of them? Do you think that they were thinking about this implication? No. They weren't. Paul says, when you teach this doctrine, this is exactly what you say. And you know what? Sometimes a person might say, but I have been misquoted. You took me out of context. Paul said, there's no context that I took you out of. What you're saying, you are questioning the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because, and notice what he says, it was evidently. It was clearly, by their attempt to merge faith with law, in that very act of teaching that doctrine, they were questioning the atoning work of Jesus Christ. They were making the law of Moses completely completely competing against the crucifixion of Christ. And they were saying that Jesus' death on the cross was not sufficient. But you see, they would never have seen that implication. Brethren, false doctrine always has implications. Now notice something here. From the question, when Paul says, did you get this from that? Did you do this from that? You know, 1 John chapter 2, verse 21 to 23, and 1 John 4, 1 to 3. Quickly. From these questions, not only do we learn that no false doctrine is innocent, but we also learn that no false teaching is reconcilable with the truth. Let me repeat that. No false teaching is reconcilable with the truth. What do you mean? You cannot mix truth with error and be the same. And you know what would win? Error would win, because the truth is not going to stand with error. Now notice this though. 1 John chapter 2 verse 21 to 23. 1 John 2 21 to 23.
I have not written unto you.
What's John now? John says, I have not written unto you.
Because you know not the truth.
Because you don't know the truth. That's not why I'm writing to you.
But? Because you know it.
Because you know it.
And that no lie is
no, you know what you also know? You know what you also know? No lie is of the truth. Paul says, John says, that's why I'm writing you. But notice out of what context he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Who is a liar?
Who is a liar?
But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ.
Okay.
He is Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son.
Watch this now. Brethren, who hath bewitched you? What do the oneness Pentecostal tell us? That Jesus Christ is the only person in the Godhead. There's no Father and there's no Son and no Holy Spirit. All of one is Jesus. Paul says, John says, you know the truth? Yes. Don't you know that no truth, no lies are the truth? Yes. Well, you know that these people are Antichrist. You don't have to guess and spell. The truth tells you that once a man teaches this, he's an Antichrist. It doesn't matter what he claims. It doesn't matter what he said. He is an Antichrist. How do you know that? You know the truth already. And you know that that could not be the truth. So it must be a lie. And if it's a lie, anybody who denies that there is a Father and a Son, they are parading themselves and saying, I am an... Do you think you can go and call them Antichrist? But you see, if you know the truth, you can. So that is what Paul is saying. You know the... what verse is that? John.
2:22.
Read verse 23.
Whosoever denieth the Son...
If you deny the Son...
The same hath not the Father.
You know what? Okay. The Pentecostals said, well, Jesus is his own Son. That don't even make good nonsense. But Paul is saying that is false teaching and it is never of the truth. So no false teaching is ever reconcilable with the truth. Let me press on. In this text, in Galatians chapter 3 verse 1, there is a consistent contrast between the teachings of Christ, the gospel, and the Ten Commandments system, which these false teachers were trying to bind upon the Christian. Notice verse 2 of Galatians chapter 3. This only would I learn of you. Yeah? Read.
Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
What Paul is saying, you couldn't have it from both. You couldn't have it. It's either this or that. But you see, it couldn't be that. Now notice this though. In verse 2, he makes a contrast between the Spirit by the law, the work of the law, and the hearing of faith. In verse 3, he makes a contrast between the Spirit and the flesh. In fact, in the book of Galatians, the gospel is called the faith. In chapter 1, verse 23. It is called the truth in chapter 5 and verse 7. It is called the gospel in chapter 1, verse 7. And it is called the law of Christ. Now notice what is Paul's point now. Why were these Galatians foolish? Because he says, oh foolish Galatians. And I'm going to come back to that. They were foolish because they were moving away. I'll put it another way. They were foolish because, having moved away from the carnal and the fleshly, the law, the Ten Commandments system, to faith in Jesus Christ, they were taking a backward step, moving now from life in Jesus Christ to bondage under the law. Pastor, that is foolish. How can you have, it's like a man, you leave sin and you come to the truth and you accept the truth. But a couple days after, you leave the truth and go back to sin. Paul said, that's foolish. That doesn't make sense. And there are some persons who will leave one institution and go to another and realize that, look here, this is not what I was looking for. Paul said, but you didn't think, your action, you didn't think through it. And I want you to follow me. Paul is saying in verse 2 and 3, they were foolish because they were making a backward step. In verse 3, he is saying, the hearing of faith, being taught the faith, and their obedience to the faith, ushered them into spiritual opportunities which they never had under the law. To go back now to something that you couldn't get there, replacing it and having replaced that by something what you have. Let me make that clear. In other words, you are here. You couldn't enjoy any benefits here. You go over here and there are benefits. What do? You leave this benefit and you come back over here and there's none. Paul says that doesn't make any sense. That's foolish. But notice this now. Notice this. Do you know that a lot of people do the same thing today? A lot of people do the same thing. Read verse 3. Read verse 3 of Galatians chapter 3.
Are ye so foolish?
Mm-hmm.
Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?
Okay. Watch for. Paul is saying, how can you begin with faith and end up going back to the law? Now, notice what some people do. Here's what some people do. Here I am, an Anglican. Mary comes, and Mary teaches me the truth. I never got that truth in the Anglican church. So what I say to Mary, all right, you know what, Mary? I will baptize in your church, but I'll go back to the Anglican church. People do that. People do that. They couldn't be taught, and they weren't taught the truth here. They say, okay, then I will baptize with where you are, and then I'll go back to my church. But if you couldn't get the truth at your church, why go back? Why would you want to go back when in fact you couldn't obey the truth there? Doesn't make sense. Paul says, that's foolish. And that is why he says, how can you begin with the Spirit and end up thinking that you can be made perfect in the flesh? People do that. You know, I have a sermon. I was thinking of preaching it today. And the title of the sermon is, I don't want you to join my church. I don't want you to join my church. You know what you have? Let me show you. Sometimes, Brother Michel, a visitor will come here. And they will like the worship and they will say, you know, I want to join your church. I don't want you to join my church. First of all, I don't have a church for you to join. I don't want you to join my church. I want you to be added to the church that Jesus died for. But you see, people, and this is what these Galatians were doing. This is what these Galatians were doing. They were going back to something that could never secure their salvation. And Paul is saying, people do the same thing today. Look at chapter 3, verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. is the law. Quick.
Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
Alright. Paul is using what we call subjunctive. And the picture of life says, Paul is talking about a possibility. But in fact, he's talking about a possibility that does not exist. Here's what he says. If there had been a law, he doesn't say if there had been the law, he doesn't say the law. If there had been a law, what Paul is saying, there is no law whatsoever that could bring about righteousness. There's no law at all. When he says there is, he means if there could have been a law. But Paul is saying there is no such law. There is no such law. No law can give life. But what does man need to make himself right with God? Righteousness. But the law could give you that. So why do you go back? And I'm saying, if you're here and you're a member of the church and you've been taught the truth, don't go back to falsehood. Don't. Because you can never be saved. Notice again what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. Now watch this. 17 to 18 of Galatians chapter 2. Quick.
But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor.
You know what Paul is saying here? The context of this verse comes when Peter was practicing segregation. And Paul is chastising Peter and saying to him, now look here, Peter, you are sinning. How are you sinning? You, Peter, preach that the law is God. We preach that the law is God. If you go back and try to reestablish it, you are a sinner. So what Paul is saying, if I again build the things that I destroy, I become sin and a sinner. So what is your point, Eddie? The only thing that can save you is the truth. And Paul is saying, don't depart from it. It is foolish. Last point that I have. Many religious people are bewitched, are foolish, and Paul points that out clearly. Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, and he says it twice. Now, first of all, why were they foolish? What made them foolish? Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 26. We're told in Jamaica they can't call anybody fool because, you know, it's not right. But people are fools that are foolish. Now watch this. Why were they foolish? Matthew 7, verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine
and doeth them not,
and does not do them,
shall be likened unto a foolish man.
Okay.
Which built his house upon the sand.
You know what Jesus is saying? If you don't practice my will, if you don't follow my will, if you don't build your lives on my principles, then you're foolish. Jesus is saying, it is foolish not to live your life by the principles and by the principle that I have set. By my way, by my teaching, you're foolish. So they were foolish because in attempting to merge the two, They were practicing something that was not the will of God. And any man who practices something that is not the will of God and is taught the truth and persists in it, that is foolish. So they were foolish because they did not practice the truth. They were foolish for another reason. And this is where we in the church need to be careful. They were foolish because they were too ready and willing to accept every and any doctrine presented to them. That's why they were foolish. Paul is saying, don't just accept any and everything that you hear. That is foolish. Why is it foolish? It is foolish because not everybody preaches the truth. Don't be bewitched into thinking that once a man out there is preaching and teaching, then he's from God. No. That is foolish to think that way. It's foolish. Now what? Notice now. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15 and 1 John 4, 1. Watch this. And later on I'll talk about my experiences over in Tutin. You know what I have to tell the brethren there? When somebody comes to the church and says he's a member of the church, I don't care where he comes from. Amen. I want to know, first of all, one, are you a member of the church? Secondly, were you faithful where you left?
Amen.
Jackie will tell you. I wasn't there, but one, a man came off the street, follow me. He's a Pentecostal. And they have him up there praying because he's supposed to be a brother. I said, you're crazy. I said, no. Test him out first. Nobody just comes show up at your doorstep and you say, well, okay, I'm a Christian. You accept it. No, that is foolish. You know why it's foolish? Look at 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15.
For such are Paul's apostles.
For such are Paul's apostles.
Deceitful workers. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ.
Into the apostles of Christ. Wait, is that possible, Paul? Is that really true? What does he say make for us?
And no marvel.
Paul says, why are you worrying about that?
For Satan himself.
Why is it that you're shocked that they are false apostles and teachers? You shouldn't be shocked. Well, why shouldn't you be shocked?
Don't you know
that Satan can do the same thing?
That's right.
So why are you surprised? Read.
For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers...
Paul, look here. If Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, why do you think his ministers can't do the same thing? Why should that shock you?
Amen.
But here's something now that I want to ask. His ministers... Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness.
Hold it now. So you have two ministers here.
That's right.
You have ministers of Satan, and you have ministers of righteousness. Now, here's my question to you. Where are these people preaching? Which church are they ministers of? Because it's no theology. You have ministers of righteousness. Well, we would expect that they're preaching where Christ wanted to preach. But if you have ministers of Satan, where are they teaching? No, because they exist. No, you're not going to have this. In fact, in some places you do. You're not going to have that on the cross and they say, this is the church of Satan. You're not going to have that. But you're going to have ministers. They must be preaching somewhere. And that is why Paul is saying, don't just accept any and everything that you hear. Because you will be bewitched. You will be led astray. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. What is the answer there to that? 1 John 4, 1. Quick.
Beloved, believe not every spirit.
Do not believe every teaching.
But try the spirit.
Hold it. Don't believe everything religious you hear. Don't, because they are not necessarily speaking the truth. Paul tells us that the antidote, the cure for beguilement and deception is knowing, believing, and accepting the truth. That is how you safeguard yourself. Now, we live in a society that says, as I said, I'm men tonight, and I'm closing, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what church you go to. You know, there is unity in diversity. We live in an ecumenical society. You know, Jamaica is a plural society. That's just your interpretation. One church is just as good as another. Why would you want to believe that? The only way you would believe that is if you have been bewitched. And whenever you accept that, you have been bewitched. Because that is not of the truth. As I close, there are so many things happening in the church and out of the church that, brethren, make sure that you and I know the truth, and make sure that you and I know how to separate falsehood from error. Because if we don't, we are going to be bewitched, because there are false teachers out there. Amen? Yes, it matters. Because what Paul is saying to them is, if you give up on the truth, you're going back to damnation. In the text then, Paul is teaching that nobody has the right to be wrong. Let me repeat, nobody has the right to be wrong. No one in his right mind, Paul is claiming. No man in his rational mind can ever accept falsehood when truth plainly stares you in the face. You might not like it, but it's the truth. It might make you uncomfortable, but it is the truth. To do so, that is to believe a lie and continue believing that lie, is foolish and irrational. And the only reason you're doing that is that somebody will be here. That's what Paul is saying. You have been bewitched. Somebody has pulled the wool over your eyes. So, brethren, what must you do to be saved? Well, I am not going to tell you anything that you can't find in Scripture. You need to hear the Word of God. Believe it. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. And you need to be buried in water for the remission of your sins. If you do that, and if you continue in the truth, you will never be bewitched. Because then you can separate truth from error. We're going to stand up. We're going to sing the invitation song. This time the song leader will choose one. Let us stand, please. And if you are subject to the invitation, we invite you to come and to give Jesus Christ a chance in your life. 5:78.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory!